Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to have a special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, being the preacher at Rock Cliff, it is my habit, I don't do this every month, but on the first Sunday morning of every month, I like to preach from the Psalms. And I've preached up through the 45th Psalm, and this particular Sunday morning, it was a sermon on the 45th Psalm, and I call this a song of loves. Now, let me read to you the 45th Psalm, and then I'm going to read from the Rock Cliff Review a synopsis of the sermon that I preached that morning on this psalm. This psalm has an inscription. It is for the chief musician, set to Shoshanim, a psalm of the sons of Korah, Maskell, a song of loves. Psalm 45 in verse 1. My heart overfloweth with a goodly manner. I speak the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty one, thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride on prosperously, because of the truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp. The peoples fall under thee. They are in the heart of the king's enemy. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces string instruments have made thee glad. King's daughters are among thy honorable women. At thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So will the king desire thy beauty, for he is thy lord, and reverence thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. The rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. She shall be led to the kingdom in broidered work. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the peoples give thee thanks forever and ever. Let me read this to you. A Song of Loves. The inscription above the 45th Psalm identifies it as a song of loves. It is a psalm for a royal wedding that brings to mind the Song of Solomon. As is common among modern weddings, the groom makes his appearance first in verses 1 through 9, and then our attention is turned toward the bride in verses 10 through 17. We begin with the groom. He is fairer than the children of men because his appearance is above the ordinary. I have seen awkward boys look almost gallant at their weddings. The psalmist says, grace is poured into thy lips because of what is poured forth. Gracious, beautiful words. In saying God hath blessed thee, we see that the king has favor with God and men. This is not just a pretty boy. He comes to the wedding with his sword at his side. He's a soldier of valor who has ridden prosperously with truth as his power, with meekness in his self-mastery, and with righteousness as his cause. His enemies have seen terrible things from him, but his kingdom, these things are wonderful. His arrows were sharp in the heart of his enemies, and they fell under him. The psalmist sings, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter, Psalm 45 and verse 6. Because he has loved the things God loves and hated the things God hates, he continues, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, Psalm 45 and verse 7. He even smells good. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad, Psalm 45 and verse 8. He comes escorted by royalty, the daughters of kings, but he turns his attention to his queen in gold of Ophir. Now here comes the bride. She will forget her own people and her father's house, for her loyalty will be to her husband. This is why the family of the bride cry at weddings. The king will desire her beauty, and he will be her lord. She will worship him in that she will reverence him. Psalm 45:11 and Ephesians 5:33. For her wedding shower, the daughters of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall inherit thy favor. Psalm 45:12. For her wedding dress, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought into the king in raiments of needlework. Psalm 45:13-14. For her bridesmaids, the virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought into thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Psalm 45:14-15. And Psalm 45:16 speaks of the children that will come of this union. And Psalm 45:17 speaks of her place in history. Indeed, she is, through the writing of this psalm, inscribed in history. On the surface, this is a description of a royal wedding. It would be beautiful and whole if that were all, but there's more to this psalm than pageantry and sentiment. Psalm 45:6-7 is quoted in Hebrews 1:8-9. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The groom is Christ. The bride is his church. This picture is repeatedly found in the New Testament. In teaching the Jews that no longer under the law, Paul wrote, Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God, Romans 7 and verse 4. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Paul admonished faithfulness, writing, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In Ephesians 5:22-33, Paul wrote of submission and love in marriage and said, This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. The imagery of this psalm matches the imagery of Revelation 19:7-16. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The sentiments of this love song are captured in one of our hymns. The Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and myrrh their texture fills. Its fragrant reached to this heart of mine. with joy my being thrills, out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe. Only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Well, that was the article that you had had received in the bulletin that we hand out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And we read from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this Bible school, we're going back and looking at old Sunday school lessons. And today we've come to a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of August the 15th, 1926. And the recommendation is to read Exodus chapter 18. This is about Jethro's wise counsel. And let me read that to you. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, how that Jehovah had brought Israel out of Egypt. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I've been a sojourner in a foreign land, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife and the Moses into the wilderness where he was encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come to thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other their welfare. And they came to the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that Jehovah had done unto Pharaoh and all the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how Jehovah delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which Jehovah hath done to Israel, and that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be Jehovah, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Jehovah is greater than all gods, yea, and the thing wherein they dealt proudly against them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning unto evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand about thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between man and his neighbor, and make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses, his father-in-law, said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for the thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it alone. Hearken to my voice, and I will give thee counsel of God and be with thee. Be thou for the people Godward, and bring thou the causes to God. We'll finish this reading in our next class.